Erev Tov. So first of all, I just want to begin with an apology. We're gonna stop shiur at a little bit early at 7 o'clock. I have to run, but so we have 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes to discuss the topic. So basically, up until this point, we've been talking about warming up food on Shabbos. We talked about shihia, leaving food from before Shabbos into Shabbos. We talked about hachzara, returning food to a heat source on Shabbos. We talked about a possible shayla with a crock pot and the shayla of hatmana. We discussed all of that. One of the things that we did not yet discuss is how do you define liquids and solids? Because we saw that with regard to the law of solids, we're pretty lenient, because we paskin when it comes to hachzara, to returning food to a heat source, we paskin ein bishel achar bishel b'davar yavesh. Whereas with liquids, essentially Ashkenazim and Sfardim, except for Teimonim, but basically the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch both paskin that yesh bishel achar bishel b'davar lach. So therefore, becomes very important, imperative to define what is considered a solid and what is considered a liquid. So obviously, on the one hand, we all know when we look at a solid, what a solid is, right? If it's solid. And if it's a liquid, it's a liquid. But obviously, there are areas in between. So, for example, the question was once posed to Moshe Feinstein about a cholent. Is a cholent considered a davar yavesh or a davar lach? So Moshe Feinstein responded in the usual fashion, you know, about cholents. It really depends. I'm sure, as you all know, there are cholents that you could probably build pyramids with, and there are cholents that are very liquidy. It really depends. So he said, how would you test it? He said, if you turn the cholent pot over, what would happen to the food inside? Would you basically pull the pot up and you would have like a little building, a little round cylinder-shaped building, or would the whole thing just go, you know, schlump right on the table, just spread across the table? So he said, if it essentially retains its integrity as a solid mass, so then it would be considered a davar yavesh. Otherwise, he considered it a davar lach. But there are also questions where you have liquids and solids mixed together, where the liquid is liquid and the solid is solid. So here, Rav Avadi Yosef has an important kula that Sfardim follow, and that is you go basar rov. So let's say you have meatballs and sauce. So if the majority is meatballs and there's just some sauce, then the whole thing is considered a davar yavesh. And according to Rav Avadi Yosef, you would be able to take that food, the meatballs and the sauce, out of the refrigerator, as long as it's been fully cooked before Shabbos, take it out of the refrigerator and put it on a hot plate, and according to Rav Avadi, you put it on a blech. He holds you can put it on a blech directly. Yeah. Yeah, whatever the entirety is. He doesn't say. Shall we say mass? That's what I would guess. He doesn't say. Has anyone heard? Did anyone hear about any?
And if you like, I have meat. There's no actual science.
Right. There's no special meter that you just like put on it. But Ashkenazim have a more machmir approach. There is a super chumrah by the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says it has to be yavesh legamrei. So in other words, the word davar yavesh is literal. It has to be really dry. But the Mishnah Berurah takes a more moderate approach. The Mishnah Berurah says that what does a davar yavesh mean? It doesn't mean literally dry, but it means that it's not sauce. In other words, there's a distinction between, moisture versus sauce. So if you have, let's say, chicken, and it looks moist, okay, maybe there's some moisture on it, it looks moist, that's fine. He said, but if there's a pool, there's a pool of sauce underneath it, that particular sauce is considered a davar lach, and it cannot be put on the heat source. Okay, even if it's all together, it has to be put on, the chicken would have to be put on separately. And that's an important distinction. That's how most Ashkenazim paskin, like that moderate view of the Mishnah Berurah. So if you take chicken out of the refrigerator, or roast out of the refrigerator, and it's moist, it's not that there's sauce on it, but it's just moist, then it's permitted to put on a hot plate, or a permitted heat source. Yeah. You're asking what function does the sauce have?
If you're not going to eat it,
it will make a difference. It's a Shiloh Bishul. That's the problem. Now, let's say, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but let's say you take a roast or chicken out of the refrigerator, and when you look at it, it basically looks, it's a solid. Maybe it has a little moisture on it, but that's all. No sauce. You put it on a hot plate, and you leave it there for a while, what happens? Right, there's sauce that's oozing out of it. I'm telling you, you come back like an hour later, you take a look, you'll see there's like a pool of liquid underneath the chicken, underneath the meat. So is that considered a violation and considered a bishul davar lach? So the answer is no. If it emanates from the food, then it's considered as emanating from a davar yavesh, and it's not considered a bishul of davar lach. Okay, that's an important kula to remember. Now, what's famously discussed in this discussion, in this topic, is the status of congealed sauce, or congealed fats. Like sometimes, for example, you'll take out, let's say, meatballs and sauce. So the whole thing might, at the time that you take it out of the refrigerator, might be a solid mess. Or the same thing with chicken and some sauce, or roast and some sauce. The sauce that we're talking about sometimes actually is pretty solid. But you put it on a heat source, and after a time, the congealed fat and congealed sauce melts down and turns into a davar lach. What's the din? So the Ramah talks about something that's called inpanda. Inpanda was basically a food with congealed fat, and it's clear from the Ramah that inpanda is not a violation of bishul. Okay, there is no bishul violation when congealed fat or congealed sauce is converted into liquid as well. There's no bishul violation there. However, the problem that does arise over here is the problem of nolad. Okay, there's an issur d'rabbanan on Shabbos called molid. Everyone agrees. No one disagrees with this particular point, that there is an issur d'rabbanan on Shabbos called molid. Just a little background as to what molid is. We never talked about molid, did we? So basically, we know that there are 39 avos malachos on Shabbos, right? The lamed has avos malachos. The nature of malacha on Shabbos is creative activity. It doesn't necessarily mean hard work, even something that's very light work, but it's creative by definition. If it conforms to the model of the Mishkan, then it's a malacha, and that's essentially, in a sentence, the lamed has avos malachos. But let's say I have an activity that is extremely creative, but in no way conforms to the model of the Mishkan. What then? So min haTorah, it's definitely mutter. But Chazal forbade it under the rubric of molid. And molid means to create. And more specifically, it's called molid biyadayim, that you physically and actively and directly impact on an item, and you convert it into something new. Okay, that's the creative activity. So for example, let's say I take ice and I take a knife and I chop away at the ice and I crush it into water. What's the din in such a case? So min haTorah there was no violation, but min d'rabbanan there was a violation called molid biyadayim. Okay? So basically converting in a direct way liquids into solids or solids into liquids is a violation of molid biodan. The shaila that comes up though is what about nolad? Nolad is not exactly the same thing as molid. Nolad refers to an indirect association with a conversion of an item. Okay, it's not direct. I'll give you an example. You take water, you put it in an ice tray, and you put the ice tray into the freezer. Who made the ice? Or maybe more accurately, what made the ice? Okay, the freezer made the ice. But can you honestly say that I had no partnership, I had no shutfus here, I had no role in the creation of the ice? My role was indirect. Okay, that's called nolad. And there's a major machlokes haposkim whether or not there's a violation of nolad. And typically the posture that poskim take, if you look in the Mishmer Shabbos Kehilchasa, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, all the classic, the Rosh Hashabbos, all the classic Hilchas Shabbos poskim, they basically come out as follows, that lichatchila you shouldn't do it, but in a shasat chak, or more accurate, in a shasat sorech, where there's a need, you can be mekel. Okay, what's a need? A need would be, let's say it's a hot day, and I have guests coming over, and I feel that I won't have enough cold drinks without making ice. Can I make ice on Shabbos? The answer is yes. Okay, so you're not talking about like major pressing circumstances. But I feel it's important. It's just to stam be mekel is incorrect. It's improper. But if there's a need, there's a real genuine need, then you could be mekel. So it's a pretty mekel posture. I once, for example, I mean, there's some who really don't seem to take the whole problem too seriously at all. I once asked Rav Lichtenstein about the following: How many people here have made hot chocolate by taking a bar of chocolate and putting it in hot milk? Oh, it's a really good. It really works, and it's amazing. And all fancy restaurants, you know, that are there, you know, their restaurants, that's what they do. So, Shiva guys, I mean, you guys are the highest of class. Baruch Hashem, spiritual aristocracy, right here. So, I asked Rav Lichtenstein, on Shabbos, can you take a bar of chocolate and put it into, let's say you had hot milk pre-prepared before Shabbos, and it's into Shabbos. So now can I put the bar of chocolate in? So in terms of Bishul, there's not going to be a violation of Bishul with the bar of chocolate because it's usually pre-cooked. Okay? The bar of chocolate is pre-cooked. But what about Nolad? So he said he thought it was okay. He didn't think it was a problem with Nolad. He said it's getting absorbed into the milk and it's barely recognizable. He thought it was okay. It's not like it's standing alone. Like maybe if I would take a bar of chocolate and just melt it in a cup, okay, and I see it melting right there, then you can talk about nolad. But here it's in milk, it's already something, it's mixed in, we can be mekel. And basically he's drawing upon a heter that is known as nolad b'makom she'eno nikar is mutar. So I'll give you like the classic case of nolad she'eno nikar. You have hot tea or hot soup. Can you put an ice cube in it on Shabbos? So as long as your soup or tea is at least a klisheni, okay, everyone knows what a klisheni is, right? If I take a cup and I go over to a hot water room and I fill up the cup, what's the cup? Klisheni. Okay? Hot water in is the kli rishon, the cup in this case is a klisheni. So as long as the tea or you know the hot water, the hot liquid is a klisheni, you're allowed to put water, specifically water. Water is water does not cook in a klisheni. Special din. We'll talk about it a bit shortly. But water does not cook in a klisheni. So if I put ice cubes into a klisheni, then there's no Bishul problem. But what about the problem of nolad? So tell me, is it nikar? Do I see the product? What's the product in this case? What? the water. The water is the product, right? Because I'm converting the ice cube into water. But where's that water? It's gone. It disappeared into the tea, into the soup. You don't see it. There's no way to really identify it. So that's called nolacha in unikar. The same thing if you have you pour yourself a glass of Coke, a glass of Sprite, or something like that, and you put in some ice cubes on Shabbos. It's permitted because it's nolacha in unikar. The only thing you're not allowed to do is you can't stir it. Okay, because if you stir it, now what are you doing? That's not nolad anymore. What is that? That's molad. Now you are directly and actively converting it into something else. Molad that's enonikar is asur unless it's a shasat chak, a true shasat chak. What is a shasat chak? So the classic example that Postman discuss is a screaming child on Shabbos. And it's true. This really happens a lot. Right? Imagine Friday night, the child's tired, hungry, wants soup, not in 2 minutes, not in 1 minute, and not in 30 seconds. Now, and your choice is to let the child scream, okay, or get the ice, put it in, stir it as quickly as you can. So, you know, if you were taking a test, the answer is you do this as quickly as you can. You put the ice cube in, stir it, and try to take care of the child so he doesn't lose his mind at this Shabbos table. So that is considered a shasat chak, and we allow it. So a molid biyodayim b'mochem she'enu nikar v'shasat chak is mutar. Fine. So based on all this, Rav Lichtenstein said to put the bar of chocolate in the hot milk is really considered nolad she'enu nikar, or at least close enough that it's mixed in with something else. We can make it. Even though, and I said to him, but Rebbe, what do you mean it's enu nikar? I mean, it was milk. It was white milk, and now it's chocolate milk. It's hot chocolate milk. How can you say it's not nikar? He said, you don't see it. It's mixed in. It's not nikar enough.
Is it the issue with bar soap?
Yeah, so with the bar soap, there are a few things. There's a shaila of mimareach. We're taking a salad and spreading it over an item of your arm. Mimachik means that you're spreading... you're smoothing down a hard substance, so that's also happening over here. And then you have, as you said, molid, converting the soap into a liquid or bubbles. Oh, to leave the ice machine on? There isn't a problem with that. Inherently. In other words, the ice that's made is fine to be consumed, but the problem is that if you use the ice, it very often triggers the ice machine to make more. That's the problem. If for some reason it didn't work that way, because the ice machine only makes ice between certain hours and doesn't, you know, the rest of Shabbos, and you know that, then you could use the ice. But... Right, but if it has a sensor, you're going to have a problem.
Why, when the ice cubes are why is it not considered Nikar? Why is only the product considered Nikar as opposed to the ingredients disappearing?
Well, if the ice cube is melting in your soup, so you're asking why is it not Nikar?
Yeah, because you clearly see the ice cube disappear. You clearly know it's...
No, but the product you don't see.
Why is the product only part?
Because because we're talking about the creative process.
That's what the process is really happening.
No, you don't know. It's not. The Rabbanan only said when you create something, then there's going to be a problem. But if someone, you know, if I'm on the prosecution stand, if I'm on the stand and the prosecutor is asking me, you know, you made the water, so you know, so of course, you know, where's the body? You know, there's no water. You know, where you gotta. That's the ABCs of creativity. You know, you have to find that product, and nikar means it's theirs. Yeah.
The fact that you have the bar of chocolate being destroyed, the fact that there's destructive
atoms
associated with
that. Say again. If what?
The bar of chocolate
is
being destroyed.
Oh, I don't know if it's right. Okay. Right, at the very worst, it's me, Makalkil. Right, Makalkil is okay. Makalkil at Tzarech Achilles, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. In other words, the nolad b'mokom tzarach is mutar, meaning where there's a real need. You know, so you have gas. That's a real need. It's not an emergency, but it's a need. But for example, let's say a person says, "I could drink this soda the way it is, you know, room temperature. I'm fine. I like it. I'm fine. But you know, it'd be nice to have a cold. I don't know if that would be enough. But being, you know, a little embarrassed, you know, you want to give it. You want to have a nice hachnasas orchim. So it's not an emergency. I don't think it's an emergency, but it's a tarach. It's more pressing." You can put out a bowl. It's okay. You can put out a bowl of ice. And you can even put it back. You know, it's not considered a problem of nolad if you're retaining its frozen status, its solid status. Like if I take a pizza or a challah and I put it into the freezer on Shabbos, as long as I'm doing it to prevent destruction of the item, then even though it's freezing, since it was solid before, and still solid, so I haven't done anything that's palpably changing it. Oh, from that, although I hear what you're saying. You can take the ice out. So take the ice out. I don't know if you really can call that a tarovas. The issue that you're basically broaching here is borer. Is it a problem borer to take the ice out of the water? If it's small pieces of ice floating around in a lot of water, then yeah. But if it's big pieces of ice with just a little bit of water, it's not a mixture. Borer only becomes a shiloh when there's a mixture. But if things are clearly independent from the other, then it's not a mixture. Yeah, so that's not considered enough of a change. That's interesting. And also, first of all, it's even grumma. It's not like I'm making the steam. So, I don't think steam is basically water. I know, but I'm saying it's liquid right away. You know, so you put your hand above it, it immediately condenses. It's wet. You mean, you know, I take out chicken, let's say,
yeah,
and has ice on. Yeah. So what you should, you know, and moreover, this bishel might occur too.
Right.
So you should scrape, you know, lightly scrape off the ice.
Scrape it into the freezer.
Lightly, you know, or into the sink. Yeah, that's okay. It's not considered nolad if I take a ice cube and put it on the put it in a glass and leave it there. Maybe I shouldn't drink it, but. But I'm not violating nolad. It's not like someone looking at me will say, "Oh, he's taking ice and changing it into water." It's not perceived by people when you take ice and put it into room temperature. But if I take that ice cube and put it in a glass and put it near a hot plate, you know, near a heat source, then it's perceived by people as I'm trying to convert it into water. Yeah, but it's a little more subtle than that. In other words, if it's hard to identify, like when you look at little pieces of ice, but yeah, it's hard to see.
In the roast case, if you cook the roast, like, originally it comes out with liquid, so even before you reheat it, there's liquid in the pan, is that solid?
You cook the roast, there's liquid?
Yeah.
And that's...
So can you reheat the liquid even though there is...
Did it congeal?
Not when you reheated it, the liquid came out before you
and it was liquidy.
Yeah.
If it is liquidy, then you can't heat it up. Right. When it's in a liquid state, you can do it. Good point.
What about putting a weight?
You're asking, would it be a problem? if it congeals, right?
Right,
right. So I think there it's a tzarach. If you don't put it in, it's going to spoil. So. And a what?
In a tea bag.
Well, tea bag is not previously cooked. Okay, so okay, that was the question. So when we're talking about the congealed fat or the congealed sauce on chicken, on roast, on meatballs, so what's the din? So as I said to you, in terms of bishul, there's no problem. What about the problem of nolad? That's not molded. I'm not converting it via dayim. I'm not putting my hands into it, you know, and turning it into liquid. But I'm definitely participating in a process that will lead to a change. So that's nolad. So it seems to me that this should be like that bar of chocolate in the milk. It's you know, certainly the meatball case would be that way, and I think that even when you have roast in congealed fat and everything like that, I think there's room to talk about the possibility that that might be nolad she'eino nikar. And as I mentioned to you, even if it's not nolad she'eino nikar, but nolad we're makil b'makom tzorech if there's a real need. So, you know, some of these foods will really be very dry, and they won't taste good without sauce. So, I think that if one wanted to be makil in this sort of case, and they felt that the food would be ruined if they didn't put it into the you know into the hot plate, I think there's room to be makil, but only when it's not like a large amount of sauce. If it's a lot of sauce, you know, if it's a lot of congealed sauce, then I think it's hard to say that it's like the case of the chocolate bar in the milk. Then you clearly have two separate items here. You have the meat or the chicken and lots of sauce, and it's hard to say that's in onikar. But you still may have the shaila of it might be the tzorech. People need the sauce, they want the sauce on Shabbos. It may be better if you can. Okay, I'm suggesting let's call it a little hiddur in this, okay? A more mahadrin channel to go in, and that might be to do the following. You could take the congealed sauce, and let's say you put it in rice, and you mix it into the rice before you put it onto the hot plate. And then you put that on the hot plate. What will happen? Right? The congealed sauce will melt into the rice. That will be definitely nolad she'eino nikar. It'll disappear. And you'll have rice, that saucy rice, and then you serve it along together with the roast, with the chicken. That can be that's just as fine. So I would recommend, if one can, to go in that direction. I mean, Sfaradim would not have to do that, but Ashkenazim, I would recommend if you can to try to go that way. But if someone was makel the other way because they felt it was a tzarech, it was really otherwise the food's going to be ruined. And I think there's room to talk about a kula, a limud
zchus. Sounds like it's just like an extension, like a kula to have that Shabbos morning. Is that implying that it's preferable to not have sauce Shabbos morning in the first place, or is it you can't have it?
No, I'm saying that it's possible that people might feel that it's necessary and we mutter. But let's be honest. If a person has roast or chicken and they don't feel that it's necessary, they just feel it's nice to have sauce, but they don't really feel that it's important, and the chicken will be fine, the roast will be fine, and I can tell you that many times that's how it's done, and it is fine, and it is moist. So if there is no gain there, then it's hard to be somech on alimut chos. If you put in the rice, the trick that I mentioned about putting into the rice will work. That will work on all cases. But the idea that, you know, the only way I can think of a malami zechos on people who are an Ashkenazim, who will, let's say, return the chicken or the roast with all that congealed sauce onto a heat source, the only way it can run its course is if they really feel that it's important for the food not to be ruined, not to be dry, and they really need it. Then I could see it. Or that it's not that much sauce and it's really considered like some type of mixture. It's not nikar. But like it's a, if it's a mixture like meatballs and sauce. So, but if it's like one, if it's a roast and sauce, like a roast and congealed sauce, or chicken and congealed sauce, it's hard to imagine that it's considered an onika, because it's not all mixed together. So you should take take out the solid. If there's some, if there's a little bit of congealed.
It's covered with it.
So you try to shake it off. You have to be careful about borer over here. Borer, you know, it's, you can scrape off a little bit, but you have to be careful. You have to be careful about borer. So shake it off, bang it against the wall or something. You know, I what we do. I just tell you what we do in our house. In our house, Friday night, if we have chicken with sauce or roast with sauce. My wife takes the roast or the chicken out and puts it in a separate pan, and she takes the sauce and puts that into a container and keeps them separate. So either, I mean, yeah, so she'll put it in the refrigerator and the freezer, and not to use it on Shabbos, and we'll use the chicken or the roast, and this way there's nothing congealed on it. You don't have to worry about borer. You don't have to worry about.
You can't use like a fork or a knife.
Not too much of it. Yeah. You know, maybe again, if you do it with a shinoi, you have to. It's tricky.
Is this an issue of no allowed to take gelat out of the fridge? Well, technically, it will turn into a liquid after a while, but you haven't really done anything.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think it's a problem. By the way, just one last thing. If it's only a small amount of congealed sauce on it, then I think it's enonikar. Then it's okay. It's just like if you have lots of it on it.
In general, if you're over on this,
if it's a shogeg on a drabanan, then it's mutar. If it's a mezid on a drabanan, then it's also until Matzah Shabbos. Yeah. I think it's fine. As long as it would be in onikar. It'll be fine.
So by saying that, like, the congealed sauce that if you otherwise put it on the...
You put it like putting into rice. That's a clear case where it'd be mutter.
No, I'm saying, like, not a third item. You have your congealed sauce, and you have your food item that went
in. Right, the roast, let's say.
Right, you have your roast, right? You have congealed sauce that comes with the roast. And, you know, somehow, it's already saying that you inject the congealed sauce back into the roast, and not that, you know... Some sauce oozes out. That
you inject it into.
I don't know. It's like you know, somehow put it back into the.
No, no. What you know? It means like somehow there was a cavity or something in
there. Yeah, yeah. You can inject the sauce back in. And, you know, would that? I mean, it's not in a recar because you're not physically seeing change, but it's the same change.
That's interesting. That's a fair question. Like the question's raised. You guys know about the these like cupcakes that have like hard chocolate in them. Yeah, you put it on a hot plate, huh? No, inside. Right, it's like these hot. These like hot fudge cakes. It's almost supper time. So I'm sure that's what they're serving. So there's a Shaila, right? I would be inclined to be makel over there, but there it doesn't like ooze out all over the place. Usually. It's just so
didn't
mind.
Then
I think it would be.
But if you can
contain
it,
if you can contain it, then I think it'd be all right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So I think we've pretty much exhausted the topic of shehi on hachazara. Did you say that we got the issue? I think we got the issue. But we haven't yet talked about the laws of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and Kli Shlishi. How to make coffee, tea, maybe instant soup, hot chocolate, hot hot cocoa on Shabbos. So let's discuss that briefly. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to talk about all of it, but we'll get a start. Basically, the laws of Kalim are as follows. A Kli Rishon is basically a Kli that was on the fire, and if it's on the fire presently, it's called a Kli Rishon Agabe Ha'esh. If you take it off the fire, and it's still hot, okay, you know, it's, if it will bring the food to Yatza, let us go, then that Kli is called a Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Ha'esh. And most Rishonim Paskin that whether the Kli Rishon is a Kli Rishon Al Gabe Ha'esh or Shelo Al Gabe Ha'esh, it's Mevashel Kedei Kulo. It has the power to cook through and through Min HaTorah. Okay, there's a Shitas Yachid in Rishonim that says that there's a distinction. That a Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Ha'esh is only a violation of Bishul Midrabanan. But most Rishonim and Poskim hold that it's Doraisa, whether it's Al Ha'esh or Shelo Agabe Ha'esh. Now, if you pour from a Kli Rishon into another Kli, whatever is being poured out, let's start with a liquid. We'll keep it simple, okay? So let's start with a liquid. If it's a liquid that you're pouring from a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni, so the liquid en route into the Kli Sheni is called Irui Kli Rishon. Irui Kli Rishon is also Mevashel, but it's only Mevashel Kedei Klipa. It only is considered to cook the exterior of something. So Lamai Nafkamina. So here's a Nafkamina. Let's say I have a pot that's on a fire, and I put a potato in there, or I put meat in. What's the din? Bishul, right? Bishul and Shabbos. Let's say I take the pot that was on the fire, put it on my countertop, and I put a potato or meat in. What's the din? It's also an Isser of Bishul. Let's say I take a pot of water and I pour it on top of a potato that's in an empty pot that's on my counter. The water's hot. I have a Kli Rishon of water, a very hot water, and I pour it onto the potato. What's the din? It's also bishul, but only kedei klipa. It doesn't cook. It's not considered to have cooked through and through. So far, no nafkamina. So let's take this case. Let's say I have a baby bottle, and the baby wants to drink warm milk. So I take milk out of the refrigerator. That's going to complicate things. Let's say it's mother's milk. Okay, it's mother's milk. So she had expressed milk before Shabbos. It's in the refrigerator, and the baby wants warm milk. So, how do you warm up the milk? Let's say I pour hot water on top of the baby bottle. What's it then? Mutter or Asr? It's mutter, because it's only Mavashuk of the Klippa. What's the Klippa here? The bottle. And the bottle's not cooking. It's non-food. If the bottle would melt right there, that would be Bishul. But they don't melt. Okay, they don't melt at least at those temperatures. So that would be permitted. But if I would take the bottle, this baby bottle, and put it into a Kli Rishon, that would be Mevashel Kedei Kulo, and it would be considered a violation of Bishul because it cooks through and through. Okay, so that's basically the din. Is this too cold? Should I shut the... It's good, you're comfortable? Huh? Okay. So anyway, that's the din of Kli Rishon and Irui Kli Rishon. Is that fairly clear? Okay. What about a Kli Sheni? So the din is that a Kli Sheni, Me'ikar HaDin, is Eino Mevashel. Why can't it cook? Me'ikar HaDin. So the Baal Yatosu will say, because Defanos Mekareros, that when you pour, let's say, hot liquid into a Kli Sheni, into an empty pot, so the walls of the pot will cool down the liquid. Now, we all know that that's really not, like, really true. I mean, it doesn't cool it down totally, even not dramatically. If you would put your face into that hot water, you would probably die. So But halacha paskin, defanos makaros. No, I mean, you should live. I mean, defanos makaros. No, it doesn't mean that it actually cools it down. It just means that it changed the dynamic of the water. The water previously was very hot and was in a state that was maintaining a high heat. When you put it into a klisheni, so there is a spiral down of temperature. That doesn't mean it's cool. Okay, it could still be exceedingly hot, but since there was a major depression in the temperature, and now furthermore there will be a quicker, because of the new scenario that it's in, there's going to be a quicker depression in the temperature. So that model of Bishul was not in the Mishkan. This type of mechanism was simply foreign to Mishkan, and therefore it's Einam of Asher. Just taking this idea one step further is the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't even use the idea of the Defanos Makaros. The Rambam says, you know why a klisheni is Einam of Asher? He says, because they didn't use a klisheni in the Mishkan. Finished. That whole model he just throws out. But what's the nafkamina between the Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos? Huh? Okay, all right, I think that would be one. If you have a hot klisheni, it's hard to say according to Tosfos the Fanas Makaros. Or alternatively, if you use a styrofoam cup where the walls themselves are insulating. So maybe you wouldn't say the Fanas Makaros in such a case. Okay? I think typically we're, on the whole, we make it like the Rambam. That we assume just the model of klisheni was not in the Mishkan. So anyway, that's the din of klisheni. That mikra din, it's not mavashel. However, there's a little problem. The problem is that there's an exception to the rule. What's the exception? Klisheni is mavashel items that are known as kali habishel. Things that are highly sensitive foods are considered to be in the category of bishel and the klisheni. Because apparently, even in the Mishkan, if it was normal to cook in this way, the point is, if it's normal to cook things in this fashion, then it is considered bishul. So, apparently, things that are very sensitive to heat, it's not so strange to put them into a kli sheni. So, what is included? What are kali habishul? And this is the kicker. To begin with, there used to be a list. It used to be a comprehensive list, and we don't have it anymore. We don't know. The Masorah is gone. Rishonim and Poskim say we don't know that Masorah. And therefore, as a result, we're machmir, and we say we do not put any raw items in a klisheni, because maybe it is known as kali habishul. Maybe that our item is a kali habishul item. The only things we will allow to put into a klisheni are things that we have a Masorah for, that for sure we know there are eino kali habishul. If we know positively that they are not easily cooked, then we may put them into a cliche. The item is, the list unfortunately is very small that we have. They're basically, on the list is two liquids and two solids. The two liquids are shemen and mayim, okay, so water and oil, and the two solids are kinamon and zangvil, which is basically cinnamon and ginger. Not a very long list. But pretty much all other items you cannot put into a klisheni. Water and oil. So that's all in terms of, these are raw things. These are raw foods. However, previously cooked liquids we do permit to put into a klisheni. Okay, a liquid that has been previously cooked, even though now it is room temperature or very cold, doesn't make a difference. We are makel to put into a klisheni. Why? So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains very clearly. He says, listen, what do we say by klisheni? Excuse me. What do we say about davalach that was cooked and cooled down? Do we say yesh bishlach habishol, ein bishlach habishol? So he said, most Rishonim say, ein bishlach habishol b'davalach, except that just were choshesh for the minority opinion in the Rishonim. So He said, really, most Rishonim are Makel. Halacha, v'lo l'maisa, we should be Makel. But since we are Machmir, so we're Machmir. But he said, in a klisheni, which really Mikra Adin is Einam of Ashel, Akedekach, he said, that we're not so Machmir. So to put previously cooked liquids into a klisheni, we're Makel. So I'll just give you an example how you could utilize this. You fill up a cup with hot water. What's your cup? Klisheni. I now want to put some instant coffee in there. Is the instant coffee considered yavesh or lach? So, on the one hand, it's yavesh. And if you consider yavesh, it's totally mutter, because it's a pre-cooked. The instant coffee is pre-cooked. So for sure it should be mutter. Even if you consider it liquid, because it's a soluble, as some achronim do, it's still a previously cooked liquid. So it's mutter. So I put the coffee, instant coffee in, fine. Let's say you like sugar with your coffee. Can you put sugar crystals in? Same thing, it's also mutter. Either it's a solid and it's previously cooked solid, or it's a soluble but it's still been previously cooked. It's been manufactured and processed. What about milk? Can you put milk now into this? Pasteurized, very good. Okay, it's also permitted. So on the basis of that heter, you can do a lot of good things. You can put instant tea into your cup and make hot tea that way. It's instant granulated tea. Let's say you have instant hot cocoa. Same thing. Put it in. Into a klisheni. Let's say you have instant soup where it's we'll just start now. It's just soup. It's not vegetables and any hard materials, because it's not so clear if they fully cook the other items and the noodles. We'll leave that out for now. But if it's just a simple soup, that's all it is. It's a broth. It also would be mutter in a cliche. So we'll stop here. So we're going to have to talk about it. See, that's going to come up. So Be'ez Hashem, next week we're on, right? Is there a reason? So Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about it next week. Take care, guys.